Bibles, Psalm chapter 94. There's so many other things. Pray for the folks practicing the skits. They put in hours and hours and hours, and just so much, just good things. God's blessing, and super excited about Vacation Bible School 3 weeks from tomorrow. Psalm 94, just a little bit more than a column in my Bible. The title of the message, God's Faithfulness in an Unfaithful World. The Psalms, I think, are really meant to meditate on and to ponder. If you read it like a book, then it won't be as meaningful. So we'll read it like a book here, but then we're going to go back and peel it back and just enjoy the Lord. And you'll watch the spirit of the psalmist change by the end of the psalm. And that's the typical psalm that I see in these 150 psalms. Not all of them, but that we come with a grievance. We come with a petition. We come with issues that need to be addressed, and they're real. And then by the end, we remember we can trust Him. He's a great God. Psalm 94, verse 1. O Lord God, to whom vengeance belongeth. That's true. O God, to whom vengeance belongeth, show thyself. Lift up thyself, thou judge of the earth. And yes, He is the judge of the earth. Lift up thyself, thou judge of the earth. Render a reward to the proud, or give a reward to the proud what they deserve. Verse 3, Lord, how long shall the wicked triumph? How long shall they utter and speak hard things? And all the workers of iniquity boast themselves. They break in pieces thy people, O Lord, and afflict thine heritage. They slay the widow and the stranger, and murder the fatherless. Yet they say, the Lord shall not see, neither shall the God of Jacob regard it. Understand, ye brutish among the people, and ye fools, when will ye be wise? He that planteth the ear, shall he not hear? He that formed the eye, shall he not see? Speaking of God. He that chastiseth the heathen, shall not he correct? He that teacheth man knowledge, shall not he know? The Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vain, emptiness, and of no value. Verse 12. Blessed is the man whom thou chastenest, O Lord, and teachest him out of thy law, that thou mayest give him rest from the days of adversity, until the pit be digged for the wicked. Give us rest until that judgment day. Verse 14. For the Lord will not cast off his people, neither will he forsake his inheritance. But judgment shall return unto righteousness, and all the upright in heart shall follow it. Who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Or who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? Unless the Lord had been my help, my soul had almost dwelt in silence. When I said, my foot slippeth, thy mercy, O Lord, held me up. In the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul. Shall the throne of iniquity have fellowship with thee, which frameth mischief by a law? That's just a fun verse. So it's talking about, shall the throne of iniquity have fellowship with thee, O God, which frameth mischief by a law? They are sinning as though that's the law. I am sinning because that's my command. That's the law. Let's read it again just so you can kind of see. Shall the throne of iniquity have fellowship with thee? With these people which frame mischief by a law? They're living by a different law. They're living by a different set of rules, that it's like this. Do all the wicked you can. Will the Lord have fellowship with them? Well, the answer is no. They gathered themselves together against the soul of the righteous and condemned the innocent blood. But the Lord is my defense, and my God is the rock of my refuge. And he shall bring upon them their own iniquity, and shall cut them off in their own wickedness. Yea, the Lord our God shall cut them off. God's faithfulness in an unfaithful world. I have 6 line items, so if that'll help you. It's all on one slide. 6 thoughts. The need for God's vengeance. There is a great need, and what we have to do is we have to rest in the reality that vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. All of you knew that before you came tonight. But we surely better remember that Again, I love, because this is a little controversial, but I believe it's true. There is no place for anger in man. It never works the righteousness of God. And I know, Ephesians 4:26, you know, be ye angry. Do you think the Lord has encouraged us? Be angry. I want you to be angry, but sin not. The word, it means when anger comes upon you, don't sin. Four verses later, he says, put away all anger, wrath, clamor, bitterness, evil speaking. And so, but when anger comes upon you, don't sin. And let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Wrath, anger, it's a reality of life. But I'm convinced of this, it always results in sin. See, we've got to give that over to the Lord. But the psalmist here, O Lord God, to whom vengeance belongeth, O God, to whom vengeance belongeth, show thyself. O God, would you show yourself so I can be reminded. You know, there's times it's good. The Lord has in very small ways, but big ways for me. I've been encouraged in weird ways. I like I said, I prayed for the weather more this past week. And if you saw what Saturday was supposed to be, Saturday was supposed to be a rainstorm the entire day earlier in the week. And I prayed about it, and I'm encouraged about it. Yesterday, Zach was moving some dirt that was not in your plan, was it? It was not in your plan. And he comes over here, and he does some more work. Did you dump that load even today? You did. Is that righteous? I know today's not the biblical Sabbath. That's what you could have said. Today's the first day of the week, not the seventh. But I appreciate that. I appreciate that. I'm telling you guys, I was encouraged. I don't know how it didn't rain here. And the Lord's just good. The Lord's good. He has shown himself. And then I thought, why am I praying about the weather? And I did quickly shift. I said, oh, Lord, give us souls. And I began to pray that we would walk with Christ. I tell you this, we must walk with Christ. We must exalt Him. We must honor Him. And that is the key to life. I'm going to preach it until I'm blue in the face. That's the key to life. I can tell you, I've been around long enough. When I have victory in my life is when I'm focused on Jesus Christ. I'm not talking when I'm truly focused on Him and I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. It is focused on Christ and everything else falls into place. But we need Him to show Himself. And sometimes I think it's just that we need to look. Verse 2, lift up thyself, thou judge of the earth. Render a reward to the proud. And God says He will. But look at verse 23. I'll just jump you to verse 23. He says, he answers him. Well, this is not God speaking, but He says, and He shall, speaking about the Lord, He shall bring upon them their own iniquity. I love the way the Scriptures speak this. What will come upon the wicked? First is what we deserve, right? Right? We have to be super careful. Have to be super careful, right? Whatever you think you're better than somebody with, it's the grace of God that's kept you from that. Just to be clear, I would kill people if it wasn't for the grace of God. You're like, what? Yeah, yeah. Am I the only one in this room that would have killed somebody unless it's the grace of God? Okay, I mean, you know, I'm thankful for it, right? So, am I better than the murderer? Let's talk serial killer. No, let's not go that far. So the guys are like, what? Captain Crunch, man, you're just killing it, right? That's what that's about, serial killers. You didn't know that? Anyway, you guys didn't get that joke until I had to just describe it. But you think you're better than the sinner? We're not. The worst sinner, it's the grace of God that's constrained us, that's kept me from acting out on foolish things, foolish thoughts, foolish anger, foolish fits. It's the Lord. And if we think we're better than folks, but look at verse 23. And He shall bring upon them their own iniquity, and shall cut them off in their own wickedness. It's not as though God is devising some evil potion against mankind. That's the way people speak about God, right? As though God's, look what God's doing. No, it's your own iniquity, it's your own wickedness that'll fall upon you without Christ. It's not the meanie God. It's not. It is that you will answer for your own wickedness And so the answer to the psalmist is in verse 23, and it says, "And the Lord, our God, shall cut them off." Until that happens, we should love them and share the gospel with them. The need for God's vengeance. Now look at this, the sin of the wicked. The sin of the wicked, look at verse 4. "How long shall they utter and speak hard things?" I don't know how you prepare your children for this. Just look at verse 4. "How long shall they utter and speak hard things, and all the workers of iniquity boast themselves?" I'm all for sheltering children. I am. You know, when people say, "Well, you know, you just shelter your kids." I said, "When should I unshelter them? 5 years old? 8? What do you think? 12? You know, there is a weaning process where you enter them into adulthood, and we need the wisdom of God to figure that out, right? But it ain't 5 years old, let me tell you. It's not 7. How far do I want to push it? And so it is, it's that when our kids get in the world, somehow I want to help them understand they're going to be confronted with hard words and boasting of iniquity like they've never seen. Jeff, every time your son comes, I give him that speech, don't I? And Jeff's son's an electrician apprentice, 4-year program, right? Man, those guys want to chew him up and spit him out. I think it's a great trade. It's a great profession to go into. Jeff, you know it. They're hard words and they're boasting of sin. We need to pray for Matthew. We need to pray for all of our young people as they go into this world. I want you to note one other thing in verse 4. How long? You know, the psalmist is asking how long. This is so important. And I sort of, it seems as though, and maybe it's just the way people dealt with it, you can sin and enjoy it for a long time. It's not zap-o-matic. I sinned, right? You can enjoy sin and think the preacher's wrong. Preacher might be wrong. The Bible's not. You can carry on for a long, how long? How long? I don't know. But God will render unto everyone what they deserve. And the only way we avoid that is faith in Christ through His mercy, through His grace. I want to make sure I tell folks that, because you dabble in sin, you're going to enjoy it. You've been deceived, and I've been deceived, because you know what true joy is? It's in Christ. You know why Jesus never sinned? Because He saw sin for what it was. I've given you the bowl of maggots analogy before, haven't I? I told you that, right? I've given that. Okay, maybe I've just done it in Bible studies. I've done it in Bible studies. I said, "Hey, if I placed a bowl of maggots in front of you, would you eat it?" No one's ever said yes. And I'll say, "Well, sin is way worse than that bowl of maggots, and you're slurping it up like it's syrup. You wouldn't eat a bowl of maggots, but the devil dresses up sin, which is way worse than a bowl of maggots, and we slurp it up and we eat it up as though it's the best thing since sliced bread." See, Jesus saw sin for what it was, the bowl of maggots, and far worse. But we can kind of relate to that a little bit, right? Jesus never was interested in sin. Jesus could not sin because He was God, but He would not sin because He saw sin for what it was. Understand that. It is, it's nasty. It's horrible. But to this flesh, it's pleasurable. Oh, yeah. Your flesh wants nothing to do with God. How long? It could be a long time. I know old people that they don't seem to ever have had the consequences yet. You ever see that with old people? You ever see that? I do. These psalms come alive to me. I expect, who was it? George Burns lived to be over 100 years old. A mocker of God with his movies. Oh God, part one, part two, part three. A mocker of God. Mocker of God. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. I don't rejoice in this, but George Burns knows there is an end to sin. Look at verse 5. They break in pieces thy people, O Lord, and afflict thine heritage. The lost in the world want to destroy the heritage of anything that reminds people of God. That started a long time ago with the removal of the Ten Commandments and prayer from schools. I would be supportive of putting the Ten Commandments back in schools, just putting them on the walls. I think it would have an impact. Because why was the law of the Lord given? The law of the Lord was given that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. And if there's one kid that would read them, I think it would have an impact on his heart. I'm not sure about prayer. I don't think I'd want 99% of the teachers in schools praying. They don't know who they're praying to. And if they don't know him, you know, it's sort of like George Mueller, right? I told you that story, right? When the old captain of the boat, he said, you know, there was fog, and George Mueller said, I've never missed an appointment before. And the captain goes, Mr. Mueller, this fog will not go away. It's never gone away in all the years I've brought ships in here. And George Mueller goes, let's go pray. The old captain began to pray, and George Mueller goes, stop! You don't know who you're talking to, and you don't know how to pray. George Mueller prayed. This is the testimony of the captain. Went up to the ship. Fog's gone. Captain got saved that day. God revealed himself to that captain. He said, this doesn't happen unless there's a God. That guy knows him. I know I don't. They want to destroy heritage, family, goodness, godliness. Stand up for it. Be uncomfortable. Be a little awkward. Be loving. Be kind. But I'm telling you, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Not with a bad attitude, but we're going to serve the Lord. And sometimes it's really hard, is it not? Because the world, the devil, wants to destroy godly heritage. Look at verse 6. They slay the widow, the stranger, and the fatherless. The only one that God leaves out there is the poor. Those special groups that he cares about. They slay the widow, the stranger, and the fatherless. I'm going to tell you this. I hope you're not part of this group that's an immigrant hater in the United States. If you are, it's evil and wrong. Let the government do what the government's going to do, but I'm telling you this, we ought to have compassion on everybody. Period. You don't like it, then you don't like me. I'm going to try to reach every single person in the United States, and I don't care if they're here illegally or legally. That's not my job. Let the government do what the government's doing. I'm telling you this, it's really rough if you're Hispanic in the government today. You understand that? In the United States today, not in the government, in the United States today. We're going to love the Hispanic people, and we're going to be different. We're going to help them. I'm not making any statements. I'm just saying this. There's not one person I won't love. I'm not looking for identification. I'm just like, I noticed you were breathing. Would you let me teach you the Bible? Folks, if you're watching too much news, you'll be an immigrant hater. I'm just telling you, let the government do what the government's going to do, but they're turning America into immigrant haters. This is how they're killing the immigrants. You follow me? They slay the widow and the stranger and murder the fatherless. It's happening. See, God will give you your job. You can love everybody. You can love, I'm just telling you, you know, if that's political, I'm going to be political. I'm just telling you, we need to love. Alejandro kind of highlighted that. We need to have a business meeting after this too. But Alejandro, he highlighted that. I met with Jason Reinhart last Tuesday morning. And he has told me he's trying to plan a Hispanic work up in Dayton. And just so different. He's been back a couple years now. And he said they're just not coming out anymore. And I told him, Jason, here's what you need to do. You need to let them know they can trust you. And once you get a reputation they can trust you, I think the sky's the limit. But it might take a while. And they can trust you. We're going to love them. Understand this? I'm telling you this. I don't care what Fox News says. I don't. We're going to love every single person in the United States. Amen? And because God does, right? I'm going to let the government do what the government's going to do. I'm not going to like, whoa, get all excited. I don't like what's happening in the United States with the fear, but I want to take advantage of it. I want Hispanic people to know we're going to love them and we're going to care for them. That's all I'm saying. That's it. Does that make sense? Because God does. God does. And so, just so you know, the world wants to slay the widow, the stranger, and the fatherless. Let's be a refuge, right? I'm not talking political. Let's just love people, okay? Let's just love people. We've got to love people. We cannot have this anti-bias against anyone. We just have to love people. We get to love people, not have to love people. I even hate my own language sometimes. Look at verse 7. Yet they say, the Lord shall not see, neither shall the God of Jacob regard it. You know why the world says that? Because he doesn't deal with them the same as he deals with his children. You know, I grew up with it. I remember saying this. How come so-and-so next door doesn't get spanked like I do? My parents, man, they I don't know what school they went to, but they didn't go to the school of, I feel bad about your comments. It's like up your nose with a rubber hose. Let me tell you this, because they're not as bad as you, Steve. You are one wicked kid. I'll be like, what in the world are you talking about? They didn't care what happened with the neighbors. They said, I'm going to spank you in public just so they know. They didn't do that. I mean, you know why my parents spanked me? Because they loved me. Man, they loved me a lot. Let me tell you. I said, stop on loving me, man. I said, I'm loved too much. I'm thankful for it today. I'm telling you, look, ADHD and all that's real. I had it, have it, still have it. And I'll tell you this, you know what? I love it. I love it because it gives me great energy. And like, I know sometimes in a message, like, where in the world is he going? I even forget. Right? But it's harness it. You know, my parents did. Get over here. I'd be like, oh, man. Yet they say, the Lord shall not see, neither the God of Jacob regard it. Don't let that be us, Christian. God sees everything. Bill's made an impact on me just with his simple thought. Just remember that Jesus is right there all the time. If we're conscious of that, we'll be different. It's good. Because you know what the reality is? Jesus is right there all the time. It's good. Third thing, I want you to see the ignorance of the wicked. Now, I use the word ignorance today. It just means no knowledge. If we use it today, I'm not mocking the wicked, but they're clueless. Look at verse 8. Understand, ye brutish among the people, and ye fools, when will you be wise? We are following the world in foolishness, and we have the word of God. Verse 9. He that planteth the ear, shall he not hear? It's in the world, these are foreign words. You know why? God didn't make the ear. Evolution did. Oh no. He that planted the ear, shall he not hear? God will hear everything. He that formed the eye, shall he not see? I'll tell you this. It's been a long time since I've told this. Because I told Grant the other day, and God made a difference in my life. So Clay, remind me, you did something the other night that was beautiful. They were talking about you. And you lovingly confronted in love, right? And it was good. I heard about it. And we're going to trust it's going to make a difference, all right? And we ought to do that. There's a place for it. I told you this, right? When I was in seventh grade, I like to be funny. So you guys laughing at me is actually the worst thing you could ever do. And so because you notice I tried the tambourine joke twice this morning. The second time it failed, and I said, throwing that tambourine away, right? So, you know, so if you laugh one time, I'll be like, I'm going to try it again. I don't think that way, but that's how I am, right? But when I was in seventh grade, I liked to be funny. I didn't even know what I was talking about half the time. I didn't know much in seventh grade about what I was talking about. But I could say things and get people to laugh that were inappropriate. Wrong. Sinful. Evil. My friend, you've heard this. I want everybody to hear about this. My friend, an introvert, because, you know, type A personalities only hang out with people that you know, are the opposite of them. Two type A's in a room, man, that's like disaster. And but my friend looked at me, he goes, "You pervert!" Seventh grade. I didn't know what the word meant. I had to wait till I got home to look it up. I'm dead serious. I didn't know what that word meant. And I was like, I could tell he was serious. And I was like, I had to write it down, look it up when I got home. Looked it up when I got home. God smote my heart. I was straddling the fence, see. Trying to have the humor of the world and serve Jesus at the same time. It doesn't work. You understand the introverts, right? I mean, when he blurted out, he's like, because, you know, he hardly ever says anything. It's one of the top 10 highlights of my life that a friend cared enough to confront me and say this: God heard your joke. Yeah, God heard my joke. Yeah, it's not good, is it? I determined then that I'm, by God's grace, I'm going to be hilarious. But, thank you, Jacob, for that. But without inappropriateness. It's not worth it. You know why? My God hears me. He hears everything I say. Let's lovingly confront each other. Don't let it go down a path. You know, I don't know about girls, but guys, just talk about good things, okay? Just, you have guys talking about bad things and say, "Guys, not to be. We ought not to be talking about that." Shpoink, little hair will pop out on your chest, right? Be a man. Be a man. And because I'll tell you this, that's the hard words. The world wants to destroy you. I wish I could be 100 Steves. I would be an electrician apprentice. Do-do-do-do-do. But I'll tell you, it would rock my world. Do you understand this? I would need you guys to pray for me, you guys to love me, because I think I'd go in that world would affect me. You don't think it would? I better go in there every day with the anointing of God to stand up for God, to love these men, to preach the truth in love. But I'll tell you, it's a rough world. I was around construction. You'd never imagine that, would you, Zach? You're like, man, you're clueless. I was around construction. I was in college. I managed, believe it or not, iron workers, millwrights, and laborers. Didn't know what they were doing. But these guys, once they learned I was a Christian, they couldn't talk because they tried not to cuss. You ever been around people that, because the only way they know how to cuss is talk is cuss? And they'd be like, "Steve, I need..." It was like that. They tried, right? And then they'd mess up. They'd go, "I'm so sorry." I go, "You know what?" I said, "You've honored God by trying." That's what I tell them. You know, back in the day, there wasn't phones, so they would have stuff out on their break tables, right? I'd come up, and they would throw them in a locker. I appreciated it. Guys will respect you. Women will respect you if you lovingly and kindly stand up for the Lord. But here's why we do it. God hears. God sees. It's all that, right? Look at this in verse 10. "He that chastiseth the heathen, shall not he correct? He that teacheth man knowledge, shall not he know? The Lord knoweth the thoughts of a man, that they are vanity." The ignorance of the wicked. The blessings of the believer. Look at verse 12. "Blessed, happy is the man whom thou chastenest," corrects, spanks, disciplines. It's grievous. It brings tears, according to Hebrews 12. "And teachest him out of thy law." So I want you to know this. There's a result. So verse 12 says, you're blessed if God spanks you. You're blessed if God corrects you. You're blessed if God teaches you his way, his law. Why? Here's the result. Verse 13, "that," one of my favorite words, "that thou mayest give him rest from the days of adversity." If we can know the truth of God and we receive his correction, we will have rest. Why fight against it? We kick and scream. If we receive his chastening, if we're teachable, we'll have rest. It's funny, I wonder, I don't know, so you guys have to think about this. Think about this before all the young people in here, right? Sorry. Yeah, it's not. It's like, you missed the cutoff. All the young people in here, if I'd say, what are the top, we're in church, so it's different. You might not think that. What are the top two things you want out of life? One of the top two things I hear from men older than me and maybe as young as me, peace. I just want peace. I don't know if young people would say, I just want peace, right? Would you say peace? Okay. Okay. I don't remember. I also want memory. And peace. God gives the recipe for peace. He says, let me teach you. Just listen. When I correct you, receive it. And you'll have rest. So it's interesting that if young people had that same thing, I thought it was an old thing, right? What do you want? I just want peace and rest, man. Just peace and rest. So look at verse 14. For the Lord will not cast off his people, neither will he forsake his inheritance. It's really the Old Testament version of I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now it's interesting. I probably shouldn't do this. That he's speaking about Israel here. So ultimately he will remember them and he won't ultimately forsake his inheritance. You guys, we can talk about that another day, but I just thought that was for my friends. And then verse 15, but judgment shall return unto righteousness and all the upright in heart shall follow it. Judgment shall turn unto righteousness. It's the blessings of God is that we will see God's ways as righteous. We won't see God's ways as difficult, as grievous, as misery. Do you know the average person going to church today, I think, views God's ways as misery? And so they just try to check the box, right? I mean, you know, we got a ton of, Roman Catholic Baptists that just want to go check the box, see God once a week, and kind of get his favor, right? That's not what Christianity is about. Christianity is about living for him. This is kind of a depot of refuge and refueling and recharging and encouragement and worship of the King. And we go then and do his work. But judgment shall return unto righteousness. We'll realize, oh, that's right. His ways are best. And all the upright in heart shall follow it. Two more thoughts. God's comfort and care. His life is hard. Who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Or who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? The reason that question is asked in verse 16 is because you're not feeling like he's standing up for you. You're not feeling like he is rising up for you, because his timing isn't ours many times, and it's not as quick as we want. Who will? But I love verse 17. If God doesn't, nobody will. Unless the Lord had been my help, my soul had almost dwelt in silence. Understand this, wait on the Lord. Those are hard words to say. Wait on the Lord, but do what you know he wants you to do, but wait on him. When you're being attacked, and it could be internally, it doesn't have to be, it could be just challenges. You know what we talked this morning? Fear, anxiety, struggles. It could be family. It could be work. You pray for Kevin Auer. He still might be in the emergency room today. He's got a lump on his head. I think he'd be okay if I told you this. If not, he doesn't watch. No, I think he'd be okay. He's got a lump on his head, and so I've had Abby talking to him, call a nurse. I want to intern Abby. Abigail, sorry. And he has a lump on his head. Then all of a sudden he's got his thigh is... all of a sudden pain came in it, and it's swelling, and it's on the inner part, which is where... femoral artery comes. Yeah, thank you for that. Yeah, that's good. So I should remember that. Thank you, Bill. So it could be physical challenges. It's the last thing he needs, because he's like, I can't miss a day of work. And I love that he's a man. He's going to work and provide for his family. And so, you know, it could be challenges. Here's what I want you to know. Unless the Lord helps you, you're hosed. We ought to be responsible people, do the work of God. But unless the Lord's in it, unless the Lord helps us, there is nothing we can do. Nothing we can do. I so love that. Had a guy come up to me this morning. He goes, I need your help. And when he described it wouldn't have mattered what he described. I go, I can't help you. I said, but I know somebody that can. I said, will you meet with me and let's seek his face and let's just scour the word of God and see what God might do. I said, I can't help you though. I do not want your confidence to be in me. I said, but I'll take you to the one that can. And I said, I doubt it'll be on the first time we meet. Well, the 20-minute solution. This whole chapter and much of Psalms is about waiting on God. Who wants to do that? Well, verse 15 would say, but judgment shall return unto righteousness. Once we finally realize that, then we'll realize it's righteous. We will, but waiting is difficult. Look at verse 18. When I said, my foot slippeth, thy mercy, O Lord, held me up. There's nothing like being in a place where you feel like you're slipping and God rescues you. You never want to be in the place where you're slipping and you feel like you're going to fall off the mountain. But verse 18 is a pretty powerful statement. When I said, my foot slippeth, thy mercy, O Lord, held me up. Ron, you mentioned tonight in your prayer how God's blessed your heart and it's not over, right? Just with peace that you didn't anticipate with the passing of your mother, right? Don't you ever forget it. God has manifested himself to you. God has been good to you. And I've got to watch it. Doesn't mean you don't have bad days, right? Don't ever forget it. Because there's going to be days when you don't feel it. Look at verse 19. In the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul. I sort of like the Reds, so I like misery. And I'm a closet Reds fan, so I never watch anything. So my son talks to me about it. I read about things, so I can read it pretty quickly and kind of get a update. So I was reading this thing, right? So the Reds, I mean, they played the Rockies. The Rockies are horrendous. They've only won like 20 games. They're just like the worst team in the world. And the Reds should just shellac them. And the Reds lost the other night 3-2. And if you're in Cincinnati, they're like, you know, Reds are the worst thing ever. It's a lie. You know, just, well, you're in Cincinnati, okay? There's, you know, whatever it was, you know, I mean, I told people when God made me, he didn't give me any mechanical prowess, right? None. It's like, you know, the destroyer came through and skipped me. What did I have? You know, mechanical things over my door. And he said, you don't get any. And so, you know, it's when he came through Cincinnati, it's like, you guys are going to be horrible, right? And so I take it to verse 19. It's this. We can be negative all day long. I don't want to be negative about sports teams. I don't want to be negative about anything. It doesn't help, does it? Whine, bellyache, complain, right? It says that in Philippians that we ought to put all murmuring, disputing away. And it's like this. In the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul. But thy comforts. Can you remember when God has comforted you? Can you remember when God has wrapped his arms around you? Can you remember when God saved you? Can you remember when God has done great and mighty things for you? Can you just delight in that and your life will be altered for good? Finally, brethren, what sort of things are true, honest, just, lovely, pure? Not in that order? If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things, right? It is, be careful. We're in a negative world. I think, you know, it's like any of the news networks. If it's like, well, tonight we're going to be positive. That's the news for the night. We'll see you tomorrow, right? It's like, what? Negativity sells. Let's be positive because of the comforts of God, and then finally the protection of the Lord, and then I'm done. Verse 20. Shall the throne of iniquity have fellowship with thee, which frameth mischief by a law? You know, these become little favorite verses of mine, because when I first read that, I was like, say what? I was like, what? Shall the throne of iniquity have fellowship with thee, which frameth mischief by a law? I was just totally like, but when you understand that the lost are living their lives as though they're following a law and a rule, you understand that. Because if you don't follow their law, you're the bad guy, right? Trust me. I mean, the code when I was in business was, you better drink, Steve. You better drink. I'm not going to. People hated me just because I didn't drink. I didn't follow the law. I didn't follow their law. I told you about this. And when I'm in my 40s, come on, Steve, just try it, just a little bit. I said, are you kidding me? Do you know how old I am? I would tell him this. I say, if I haven't started yet, I don't want to start now because I don't want to be like you. And then they'd be like, I probably shouldn't say that either, right? I should be more kind, but I did say that. Shouldn't have. Said it more than once because it was effective with one guy. I thought, I'll try it with the next guy. They have a law. We have to please the Lord, and God is going to help us reach souls. I told Matthew this, Jeff's son. I said, these guys are all going to have the bravado.
Let's go, Matthew. Look at this.
You know, and they're going to tell the jokes, and let's go get some beer. I got a friend that gets the beer. I know we're under 21, you know, all this kind of stuff. They're going to act like they just got it down and they know. And I said, deep inside, they're the most insecure men you'll ever meet. Be a man that knows God, and you will challenge them. And they will come at you and try to destroy you and prove that you're no different than them and say, I'm not, but my Savior's different than any of us. They're so insecure, and they don't want somebody to disrupt their law. Verse 21. They gather themselves together against the soul of the righteous and condemn the innocent blood. Mock our Savior. But the Lord is my defense. See, I don't have to defend myself. Isn't that good? My God is the rock of my refuge. We forget that. You will be destroyed. You think it's you? I ask people all the time, I'll say, are you super uncomfortable with having a Bible study with somebody? And they're like, I am. I go, you're in the perfect place to serve the Lord. I said, do you think I'm uncomfortable having Bible studies? And they said, no. I said, that's my problem. I'm not. You get what I'm saying? If you don't think you can do it, but you're willing to do it and you're going to trust the Lord, that's reality. You get like me and I think, I got this one. God's like, okay, I'll let you have it. It never works. I wish I had your insecurities. Because I can do nothing without it. But the Lord is my defense. The Lord is my rock. He is my refuge. And He's going to take care of His business. You know why I love the way this began? Oh, God of vengeance, show thyself. You know what I love? God, do your work. I'm not going to worry about it. You think I should delight in God bringing vengeance on people? These psalms sure seem like it, don't they? It's like, I don't know. Right? But here's what we need to do. God, do your job. Praise the Lord. I'll be thankful. Not going to rejoice in the calamity of the wicked. You do yours. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Simple, not easy. Let's pray. Father,